the conversation of your life. Local, relevant, digital, and always on.
America will hear my two cents.
Elected to serve iHub radio listeners across the desert cities. He calls it as he sees it.
Quick question.
Now, here's Russ Betts.
Someone answer him now!
All right, well, welcome to the Russ Betts Show. It's Sunday morning. Good morning, good morning. Coming to you live from a very quiet Palm Springs, California. If you haven't noticed, there's a what they're calling a COVID emergency. I don't think we're calling it coronavirus anymore. We're calling it COVID. COVID-19, if you want to be technical. Anyhow, it's got us shut down. It's got us in a lot of people in a world of hurt and a world of concern. So we're going to cover some of that. We're here with you until noon. And we got lots on the plate today. A couple of guests you're going to want to stick around to hear. But right now, let's get started. Now, for those of you who are new listeners, and I'm grateful for all the new listeners we're getting. It's nice to see. My day job is as a council member in the city of Desert Hot Springs, California. And I do this radio gig here to basically pull back the curtain on local government, answer some of the basic questions. Well, lately, we're getting a whole lot of calls from people that, 5 weeks ago, the calls were, maybe was it 6 weeks now, the calls were, hey, I hear about all these benefit programs. How do I get some of that? How do I sign up? How do I apply? Well, now 5 or 6 weeks later, I'm getting calls, but there's desperation in their voice, saying, hey, I signed up for all these programs. I'm supposed to be getting these benefits, but nothing's come through yet. And I got some food in the cupboard, but it's getting low and my bank account's getting low. And, can you help me out? And so, of course, you get on to trying to help out. There's supposed to be a program to help homeless find a hotel room. So I had a couple people that were homeless. They've been thrown out of work and basically need a place to stay. I heard about this program. And so I said, here's the numbers you're supposed to call. I made the call ahead of time to make sure I was given the right place. And the call I got was, well, they have to meet a certain demographic, age, otherwise. And they met all those things. So I said, please, as you go through this program, keep in touch. Let me know how it goes. I want to make sure that if I'm sending people to this program that it works and you can kind of help me work through it. So they call back and they said, yeah, I fit the program, but the program's out of money. Now, there was a program to offer small businesses money through the SBA, and it came in a big announcement. Two different programs. One was a $10,000 emergency loan that any business could get. Just sign up and you got it. And back when they first announced, everybody's thinking, well, I don't know how long this is going to last, but I can calculate what my losses will be. And $10,000 will be nice. Won't go that far, but I'll take it. So people signed up. Then people get notices, say, hi, sorry, the program's out of money, so we're limiting it. You don't get $10,000, you get $1,000 per employee, up to $10,000. So basically, that program runs out of money. Well, then you have something called the Payroll Protection Plan. And you're supposed to get, supposed to pay employers if they rehired their employees by June. And it sounded like a good deal. It said you could use the money for other expenses, but basically it was to help you keep going. If you're hurt by, you had to lay people off, get them back to work, and we'll pay all this money. Well, it too ran out of money. Now, the big news just announced is they refunded it. But if you go and try and sign up, you're going to find out that, sorry, you can't. It ran out of money almost instantly. So anybody who's contemplating, anybody who didn't get on it right away, go to their bank and get signed up, you didn't get in line. And now that it's refunded, the message you get when you go apply is, well, sorry, if you didn't apply in the first round, there's not enough money to go around. And so you're out of luck. Don't apply. And so, for a lot of people, okay, 1, 2, 3 programs not working. Anyhow, it's really getting very trying. And I'm asking myself, who's in charge? Have you tried to call the unemployment office? You know, they announced with much fanfare, 5 weeks after they threw everybody out of work, they announced with much fanfare that we're putting on more people so that our calls, your calls, will get through. And I understand they were swamped with calls, but it could have been anticipated. And to put people on 5 weeks later to take calls from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., that was their big plan to help everybody get through. Have you tried calling? Well, about when they first put that in, I called on the Monday and the Monday afternoon trying to get through, and an immediate message said, "Hi, sorry, due to the overwhelming call volume, we're not able to handle the calls. The system's overloaded, and sorry, just have to call back later." Click. Line's dead. Now, they're actually doing people a favor with that message. But apparently, they decided, you know, it wasn't good enough just to, like, quickly inform somebody they weren't going to get through. They decided, well, let's have them go through a few of the voicemail prompts. So, you know, the usual, for English, press 1, for Spanish, press 2. Hi, if you need this, if you need that. Hi, you listen to all these things that they're doing, these little messages. Hi, we're great. We're doing all this wonderful stuff for you. And okay, click here. And then after about 2 or 3 minutes of going through all that nonsense, then you get another recorded message that says, "Hi, sorry, due to the overwhelming call volume, we're not able to get through. If you want to listen to this message again, you can, but at the end of the message, the phone's going to disconnect and hang up." So basically, from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., you just have more time that you can't get through. What happened to, like, 24-hour call center? Anyhow, you know, I got to ask, who's in charge? My blood's starting to boil over some of this stuff. I mean, there's more. There's lots more programs out there, all of them promising money, but they're not working. And I see our governor. He comes out with a daily press conference, it seems. And I'm imagining in my head that he's at home at night sleeping, and he wakes up in the middle of the night and reaches for a pen and paper and says, "Hey, what about this new program?" And so he's putting it, so there's a new program a day. The latest one is feeding seniors out of restaurants. Okay, that sounds wonderful. You know, get the restaurants busy and get some seniors some food, and maybe it will work. I don't want to be a negative Nelly here or a negative Ned, whichever the case may be, but I ain't seen much else working. Now, I did hear for some people who are employees who did get through to the unemployment office and are getting their benefits, so it's not total disaster. But for gig workers, independent contractors, shop owners, people who make their living as self-employed, there is no help. And it's starting to cost people a lot of money. Now, I don't know. I participated in the governor's webinar in which you could ask questions. And the panelists were talking about setting up testing sites around the state. And they're planning 80 new testing sites. And I guess the point is, well, you know, the main relief will come when we can get people back to business, but we've got to get everybody tested first. So, you know, I'm thinking to myself, we already have testing sites in place. You have something called LabCorp and Quest. Instead of 80 new sites, why not just utilize the testing sites that are already there in the private sector? I thought I must be missing something. You know, one of the problems they said they've had was with getting enough of the cotton swab sticks, you know, the ones they put way back in your nose, way back in your throat. And they made a point of saying they finally have them coming. And they said it like this: "I think we can now say with certainty we have cotton swabs on the way." Means they've finally been assured they can get some. And then they're talking about their targets for meeting the testing so that they can get the state back opened up. And initially, they want to be able to do 10,000 tests a day. So I'm listening to this, and I'm asking myself, okay, well, how many is 10,000 tests a day? The population of California is 39.5 million, last I checked. So during the meeting, I ask Alexa, how much is 39.5 million divided by 10,000? Well, it comes out to 3,950 days. And that works out to 10 years to test everybody in California, if that's what they're talking about. Now, the conversation in the seminar turned to a question, what level of testing is needed before it's safe to start opening up? So the number I heard was 50%. So maybe there's some relief. Instead of 10 years, they're talking 5 years. It'll only be 5 years before the state opens back up for business. Well, later there was more good news. Their target estimate says they think when they get all these 80 places up and running, they'll be able to do 35,000 tests a day. And they think that's a reasonable maximum for the 80 testing stations. So that's only 1,128 days, and divided by 365 days in a year, unless my math is incorrect, it's about 3 years. I don't know, maybe you divide that in half because you only test 50% of the people. And so maybe a year and a half open up. So other conversations during the webinar focused on making sure the 80 testing stations are staffed by people that live in California, not from out of state. And there's also some thought given to making sure access to testing is equitable and along socioeconomic lines, that everybody has access. And I'm sitting there asking myself, okay, this is academia talking about what they're doing in their own world. And I'm sure all of them are making a good living. None of them are suffering. They're all getting paid. And then I come across the story, and it's a story about Eastern Coachella Valley families looking for food assistance, and the number has tripled. And they had nearly 700 food baskets to give out at the Gailey Center's food distribution down in Southern Coachella, on the Eastern Coachella Valley. Now, not every family went home with food. The number of families looking for food was triple the number of the food that they had. That means 1,400 people sat in their cars in the heat for hours waiting for food and were turned away. I can hear the conversation at home. Honey, did you get the food? Well, they ran out. Well, we're getting low. What are we going to do? Now, I'm sure what's probably going to happen is, I mean, that line, according to this story, comes to me from NBC4 Palm Springs. That line stretched, that line of cars stretched for 10 miles. And the article says each car was struggling families waiting to get food donations before they ran out. So apparently they're going to open up again. I don't know when's the next time is, every Thursday starting at 2 p.m. What do you think is going to happen Wednesday morning? Think people are going to be lining up for food? And then what's going to happen? They're going to count the number of cars, and anybody showing up on Thursday at 2 is going to be told, sorry, this is the last car. We don't have any help for you. You know, what are the odds of people camping in line? That's what's going to happen. Meanwhile, the Labor Department reported the number of Americans applying for unemployment benefits reached 4.4 million last week. That's just 4.4 million more. You know, our governor's running out of time to fix the problem in this state. And, you know, the other relief programs are not working, and there are people reaching desperation. They're running out of money, they're soon out of food, and they're not going to wait much longer. I can hear it in the voices when they call, and something's got to get fixed. All right. This is Russ Betts on iHub Radio in beautiful shutdown Palm Springs, California, and we're back with more.
The conversation of your life, local, relevant, digital, and always on.
America will hear my two cents.
Elected to serve iHub Radio listeners across the desert cities. He calls it as he sees it.
Quick question.
Now, here's Russ Betts.
Someone answer him now!
You know, in my race to get down here and get everything opened up and going for the show, I left without my regular reading glasses that, you know, usually sit there next to my computer. I got busy and, well, I headed off without them. And I got to the station. I said, wow, it's a little hard to read some of this stuff and see this control board. So thankfully, I went out to the car. And I had a pair of emergency readers, but apparently it's been a while since I updated them. And so I hope things aren't sounding blurry, but they sure look that way right now anyhow. You know, we were talking about our governor running out of time to fix the holdup at the unemployment office. Now, April 28th is the big day. You gig workers, independent contractors, small business owners, sole proprietors, tomorrow is the big day that you are supposed to be able to finally get the unemployment benefits that were promised to you, and they're supposed to be retroactive. And the money isn't supposed to run out, so let's hope it doesn't. Now, I just want you to know, 17 states across the country have been dipping into that fund that Congress set up, when was it? Way back when, 5 weeks ago. And I've already got the benefits going out to gig workers, independent, but not California. California waited till April 28th to get everything set up and organized, and it's supposed to be running like a well-oiled machine starting tomorrow morning. So we'll see what happens. We'll let you know next week when we're back here again at this iHub Radio studio here. Anyhow, we'll see. So what has us in this mess? I mean, what has us in a mess with so many Americans in such dire straits that they're unable to buy food a month after being thrown out of work? You know, you ever hear the saying, you're just a paycheck away from being broke or homeless or whatever the saying is? Well, it's not supposed to be that way, but many Americans live paycheck to paycheck, for sure month to month, and without savings. The U.S. is 100th, ranks 100th in personal savings rate. And, you know, you got poor countries like Bangladesh and even places, you know, China's come out of the dark ages as far as being a third world country. But there's still a lot of poor people there, and all of them have more money saved than most Americans. Seriously, a country like Bangladesh has a higher savings rate, actually more U.S. dollars in the bank than most Americans. And the U.S. savings rate, it had been going up. In December 2019, it was 7.5% of people's income was going to savings. And I know some of you out here saying, you know, well, that wasn't me. But this is on an average. Some people more, some people less. I mean, they got to take a national average. And then in January 2020, the economy clicking along, it ticked up to 7.9%. And then in February 2020, it went to 8.2%. Now, we got a consumer economy. We just came out of a recession. I know a whole lot of people were saying, hey, you know what? It's time to start spending some money. And they did. But during that economy, you have a savings rate of 8.2%. Just to give you an idea, Bangladesh's savings rate is 65%. And most countries, you know, that's basically where that goes. We're going to take a real detailed look at the economy, where we are right now, where we've been. You know, this isn't the first time we've been here. And we got some people here who have been there before. We're going to have a guest coming up at the bottom of the hour. Bill Effinger is going to be joining us. And he's got a new book out. It's America, Are You Ready? Surviving the Great Depression. And as I said here on the show, you know, when it comes to the immediate coronavirus and what's going around and the steps that we're at, there's other countries that are ahead of us in this process. They got hit earlier, and they're coming out the other side of it sooner than we are. We're just a little further down there, a little further down the line. And so there, we can take a look there. Well, we can also take a look at, you know, what was it like surviving the Great Depression? So our guest, Bill Effinger, coming up at the bottom of the hour, is going to help us get into that. Now, we got a whole bunch of other stuff for you at the top of the hour. We were talking a little bit about the food lines. And I'm going to give you a look at just how serious it is with our guest coming up at the top of the hour, Dana Johnson from Food Now. Their job is to, well, basically take care of food, get them food now. It's a lot of people that need it. They could have used it the other day. So we'll get into some of that. And then I want to cover, man, the city budgets. If you think people getting thrown out of work is bad, wait till you see what it's like for the cities. I mean, cities are not immune. You know, furloughs and layoffs are on the horizon for a whole lot of city employees. They got hiring freezes are already in place and cities hunkering down. Well, the mayor of Los Angeles, Eric Garcetti, said they're going to furlough 16,000 workers. in what he's calling deep budget cuts to city spending. It's hitting everywhere, and it's just getting worse. And the relief ain't coming. So we'll see. I mean, there were bread lines during the Great Depression. We've seen all those pictures. Those of us aren't old enough to live through it. No, there's bread lines. And there were people that fared okay during the Great Depression, as there's going to be people that fare okay in this crisis. And the bread lines today are people in cars, not people actually standing in line. They've all drive-through food bread lines, and the lines are stretching for 10 miles. So anyhow, all right. This is Russ Betts on the iHub Radio. Good to have you with us. If you want to give us a call, you can reach us at 760-544-8255. And coming up in just a minute, Bill Effinger on what we're looking at and are we going to survive all this? Okay, we're back.
Read about it tomorrow. See you tonight. Hear it all day today. If it's happening in the Coachella Valley, it's front and center now on iHub Radio.
And there it is.
Now, here's Russ Betts.
All right, welcome back to the Russ Betts Show. Good to have you with us. Our next guest was born in Duluth, Minnesota in August 1930. And he's been successful in a number of areas, including as a developer, a home builder, in mortgage lending, and in sales and land acquisition as a specialist, consulting others and handling things himself. He served as the mayor of Buena Park, California, and as a member of the National Association of Home Builders. He's written many building industry journals, newspaper columns, and several books on a variety of industry subjects. And he's lectured on entrepreneurism at colleges and universities and is much in demand as a building industry seminar leader, with the title of his seminars being How to Survive, Succeed, and Grow in the Building and Contracting Business. And Bill is also a marketing consultant and business coach, a political activist, and an author. If I can keep track, 30 books. Bill, welcome to the Russ Betts Show.
Thanks, Russ. Okay. Happy to be here.
I don't know if you heard all that intro. Did I miss anything?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, so do I have that correct? 30 books now?
Yes, 30, okay. and I'm working on my 31st right now.
All right. So the latest is America, Are You Ready? Surviving the Great Depression. And I'm guessing that this one just fits right in with, I don't know how you were able to foresee this one coming, because I don't think you started this book, a week ago. What do we got going on here? Tell me about this.
Well, you know, the economy is tanking big time. And in as much as I was born right during the Great Depression and continued through the first 15 years of my life, all the way up to the end of the Second World War. That experience I had as a young man, or a young boy, I should say, and then following it all the way through, it just jumped right at me when this thing started. Because, and I don't think people are really ready, and that's why I titled the book, Are You Ready, America? I don't think they're ready for the length of time it's going to take to get out of this down economy. I mean, it isn't going to happen like snap your finger.
Well, you've got people out there saying, if we can just get back to work next week, everything will go back to the way it was. But I think we're past that point, right?
Oh, yeah. No way is that going to happen. I mean, it's going to go on a long, long time. And I'm not a doomsayer. I'm just saying that the reality of things are that people don't realize that that depression that occurred in 1932 reoccurred in 1936, 37, and continued right up until we got into the Second World War and the country geared up to build all of those ships and tanks and stuff that it took to fight the war. So I'm not saying it's going to take a war to get us out of this thing, but I am saying it isn't going to happen overnight.
Yeah, well, you look at you've seen the stats on the airline industry. Have you seen the pictures of the airliners parked, the airplanes parked on the runways and everywhere else?
And here locally, you know, Boeing is one of the big parts of our economy. Boeing and Amazon are the two biggest, and Boeing is basically, you know, out of business.
Yeah, well, they just had a 777, Boeing 777, go off the line. The airline had to take delivery because of all the penalties. And it went straight to Tulsa, Oklahoma, to be parked on an airport runway. The only flight it made was to be parked. And I guess there's a few more that are going to roll off the line, but it's done, right? It's shutting down.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They talked about bringing back a group of their workers, but that hasn't occurred yet either.
And then you hear people say, oh, well, who's going to bail out these big airlines? And whether you get into that or not, think of all the people that are, you know, ancillary support, the people who go and clean the planes, the baggage handlers, the people that operate all the gates at the airports, the jet engine mechanics, the pilots who are all being furloughed like crazy, flight attendants. I mean, there's a lot of people that are out of work just in that one industry, and it's not just that industry.
No, it's all the ancillary companies that supply all the parts to the manufacturing of those planes. And the irony of irony, when oil is now at the cheapest it's ever been, which would be a boon for the airlines if they were flying, they can't take advantage of the cheap fuel. It's an ironic irony.
Yeah, I tell you, you know, I was born in 58, and, you know, I had my grandma around who went through the Great Depression, who I always saw in her the thriftiness that comes with being, you know, going through something like that out of necessity. And, but, you know, I grew up in a different time. I mean, life was e-tickets at Disneyland, and you just go get some more if you run out. And, this is the first time I think a lot of Americans are going to be facing this kind of adversity. And I'm really afraid of what's coming. I don't want to sound like an alarmist either, but you can't objectively look at the picture and say, there isn't something seriously amiss right now.
Right, and I just don't think American people are prepared for it. I mean, they've had it pretty nice for a long, long time, and it would just like just keep on keeping on, but not anymore. I mean, we're facing some hard, hard times.
Well, part of that is, too, the savings rate, which I covered in the, you know, first part of the show, is just abysmal for Americans. You know, you sit there and you see China shut down for a month, and most Chinese weren't even breathing hard at having to shut down for a month because they don't go, you know, paycheck to paycheck. They could probably go 2 or 3 years on the savings they have. And that's because they're basically, if they don't have the savings, if something comes along, they die. So they've gotten used to saving. But their savings rate's up around 65% of their salary, and they've stashed it all away for years. So
And our citizens here, if they have a week's supply of money, they're lucky. They just spend right up to the minute, right up to their next paycheck.
All right, so is America, Are You Ready, surviving the Great Depression? Is this a guide that will give us a look ahead at what we're... I have to be honest with you, I didn't read it yet. I'm going to. I've read all your... I haven't read all 30. I've read 3 of your books. So tell me what we got in the book.
Well, yes, and what I do is all day long, I upload articles from all of the major outlets. Time Magazine, The New York Times, The New Yorker, all the various networks. I select the articles that are current to the times. And so each of these books, there's now 6 in the series, 4 in the first series, and there's 2 in this series, and I may add a third. They will be excellent reference pieces for the future, looking back on how all this happened, when it happened, and why it happened. And that was my whole concept in producing these books. So they're just a total reference as all these things occurred all the way through. And then I make commentary in between the articles on my view of the various articles and how they apply and where they apply. And so it's a labor of love. And I'm really enjoying doing it, even though the topic is kind of not so happy.
Yeah. Well, you know, I when I go back and it's not happy, that's for sure. I go back and I read, you know, and I read some of the stories about the Great Depression. What sticks in my mind is that, you know, story about somebody says, hi, the neighbor fell in hard times and we were lucky enough to be able to get through it okay, but we always had to make sure we, you know, put some food out or gave them some kind of odd job just to help keep them alive. Do you remember some people getting along okay and other people not?
Oh, I listen, all of my friends, I mean, we were, you know, from the time I was 10 years old, I had a job. I was doing something to make a few pennies here and there. My dad was constantly working. He worked for the railroad, then he got laid off. So he and his brothers went out sawing cordwood and selling it to keep a few dollars. I mean, those were hard, hard times. And one of the things that was in our favor when Roosevelt got elected and took office, he started immediately on creating programs to put people to work. The WPA, the CCC, all these various things. And he created projects, building parks, Mount Rushmore, all of these things he created to keep people busy doing work and funding it through various sources of the government. Well, right now, nothing's happening like that. Nobody is doing anything to get the people to work.
Well, we're sitting at home with stay-at-home orders.
Well, now what they're doing is they're paying people to do nothing.
Yeah.
And that's not healthy. I mean, it just isn't healthy. People need to be doing something. And of all things, here we sit with an infrastructure that's destroying itself, nothing happening with our infrastructure for the last 20 years, and we got all these people out of work. Why in the hell aren't we putting them to work, building new infrastructure all across the country? They'd love to go to work. These people want to go to work.
Well, you have to wonder, because I think the mindset so far has been, you know what, we're just going to pay everybody. And we've already seen one, two programs run out of money real quick. And it wasn't all because some big companies got more than they should have, although I'm sure there's lots of that going on. But there's not enough money to pay people to do nothing. There's not enough money in the economy. The government isn't the economy. It's the private sector generating the taxes that end up getting spread by the government.
Unfortunately, the great American way has become, if you got a problem, throw money at it. I mean, it's stupid.
Well,
instead of using brain power and putting people to work with their hands and their brains, just throw money at them. I mean, it's crazy.
Well,
it's insanity.
$2 trillion disappeared in what, 2 weeks?
Yes, and now they're scratching for more.
Well, they're going to run out. I mean, you had Mitch McConnell. He took the usual hit as being the cold, heartless ogre, saying, hey, guys, there's not enough money left to do all this. And he was talking about putting the brakes on it. Realistic, it's a realization that there's just not enough money. Used to be a $22 trillion economy, and you take $2 trillion of that GDP and throw it out and it's gone in 2 weeks? I mean, what are you going to do?
The national debt is larger than it's ever been in the history of the country.
Yeah.
And there's no end in sight. It makes us a sitting duck for nation that...
Let's pick up this conversation on the other side of the break. Can you hang with us, Bill?
Sure.
Okay. All right. We'll be back. We got Bill Effinger on the line, author of America, Are You Ready? Surviving the Great Depression. It's a look at what's coming ahead, and it's not a pretty picture. We're going to take a little bit more detailed look at what we think America can expect. I don't think it's going back to work. We'll see. All right. Back with more on the Russ Betts Show here on iHeartRadio in downtown Palm Springs.
Live from the Palm Springs iHub. He calls it as he sees it. The Russ Betts Show. Call 760-544-TALK. Now, here's Russ Betts.
All right, well, it wasn't that long ago that we were in the best economy you could ever hope for. Unemployment rates at, what, 2, 3%? Or just anybody who wanted the job could find one. Things were looking pretty darn good. And then all of a sudden, boom, gone. In a flash, there we are, 30, 60 days later, and you know the airline industries are crashed. And it's just, Bill, I know, we're on the line with Bill Effinger. He's an author of a book called America, Are You Ready? Surviving the Great Depression. And it happens to be very timely because it's a look at, you know, how people got through the Great Depression and how they're going to weather this storm. Bill, I think you were probably a little young at the time to see, you know, neighbors losing their jobs. You were probably coming of age a little bit after that. You were born into the Great Depression, not before it, right?
Right.
And so...
1932.
But did you see anybody, you know, just did you see some of the hardship from the families around you, or did it already hit? Did the crash already come?
No. I mean, we were... All my friends' friends, and my family, which was quite large. My mom and dad only had two children. I was the only one at that time. But my dad came from a family of 12 children, and my mother came from a family of 12 children. And so cousins and aunts and uncles, we all experienced the Great Depression, and it wasn't a pretty thing. So, and that's, you know, the book that I wrote that we're talking about covers that era right up to current times. And currently I'm writing my next book, which is entitled Aftershock, which begins on the very day that crude oil reached minus zero value on the stock market. It was an absolute calamitous time that's never happened in the history of the world. Oil dropped to minus zero.
Do you think banks are going to start throwing people out of their houses like they saw in 2008, where you had, what, 10, 15% of the homes in the neighborhood were in foreclosure? Is that going to happen?
Well, governments are stepping up and creating laws that supposedly are going to prevent that from happening. But there again, I mean, somewhere, someone has to pick up the tab, because the banks, if they don't get mortgage payments, they are going to run out of money. And if the banks run out of money, then there you go. We're into another bank crash.
I don't know if I get depressed listening to my own show this morning. There's got to be some good news out there.
It's kind of hard to find good news.
All right. Well, we climbed out of it 15 years later, right?
Yes, we did. But like I said, unfortunately, it took a shot in the arm, which World War II was for our economy. But we don't want to look forward to a war to get us out of the economy. We'd like to think that we've got leaders who can figure this out. But I have to tell you, when I look across the spectrum of the leadership in this country, it's absolutely frightening.
Well, you know, I'm wondering if it's even possible for them to manage the bureaucracies that they're trying to put in motion to help. And I know as a city council member, you know, everybody thinks they come to you and say, hi, fix this. And you say, well, you know, I got to go get city staff to move in that direction. And you also have to have at least a majority of the council willing to do it. And then you have to have a majority of the council willing to show some gumption if staff is resisting, because they've got their own ideas. And I'm wondering, you know, how does a congressman, you know, in the House of Representatives, what, 435 people, sit there and tell the agencies what to do and how to do it? I mean, they can't even get the unemployment system here in California to deliver. It's a mess.
And the unfortunate thing is statesmanship went out the window, I think, about 20 years ago. And what we've got is we've got two sides totally locked up in partisanship, and nothing's happening.
I think partisanship is being complimentary. I go back and remember my grade school, maybe on the second, you know, in the schoolyard, when we're out of recess, the level of debate that went on out there. I mean, you know, sticking out their tongues and calling each other names. It's just absolutely insane what our national leaders are doing all the way around. It's just really disgusting.
It's embarrassing along with it. And, you know, America has been looked by the rest of the world as the leader of the world. And right now, if you were looking at us from Mars, you'd think we're a third world country.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a proposal out there to cut off this H-1B, H-2B visa programs and any import of any workers because Americans are out of work. What a few jobs are left they're going to want. Do you agree with that one?
I don't agree with what's going on with immigration at all. I think it's terrible. They never seem to talk about how do those immigrants get a job. They get a job because all the fat cats are making lots of money hiring immigrants who are willing to work for half of what other people are non-immigrants. Are willing to work for.
Yeah, well, I think the other part of that story, though, is they've also gone out and started their own business. I mean, there's a lot of people here in the country who've started their own businesses, working hard, and you know, whether here legally or not, they've got a work ethic that's produced. It's not they're not just, you know, the maids and the
no.
Know.
They're all workers, very, very hard workers. You know, and where we're living now, up in the state of Washington. In the very northern part of Washington, across from Seattle, there's evidence all over the place where these people are hard, hard workers. To be shutting the door, it's a two-sided coin.
Where do you come down on that one? Do you think we should be opening up? I mean, the parts of the economy that can be saved by starting up, like the hair salon and the, it's going to be down economy, but at least it's some economy. The florist, some of these other businesses that are closed, should they be able to open up?
Absolutely, let them.
Well, you're not afraid of the virus?
No, I'm not suggesting that you open them up. Until the situation has changed to where, you have to wear a mask to go outside or to go to a store. I mean, that's not conducive for good business. So we've got to get through this virus, and hopefully we'll come to that sooner rather than later. Because if we don't, the economy, I don't know how long it's going to be in the tank.
Yeah. All right, Bill, I appreciate you coming on. I've had you on a few times. It's always good to have the conversation with you. We're moving on to another segment here, and thanks for being here. If you haven't got Bill's book, it's America, Are You Ready? Surviving the Great Depression. Bill, thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Russ. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right, we're back with Dana Johnson of Food Now. He's going to let us know about some relief that's on the line for you. If you need some help, and we're going to examine that. Doing some great work there. This is Russ Betts at iHub Radio, and we're back with more.